Hi everyone, I'm Jeroen. I'm going to tell you something about parsing SOM files really fast, and I work for NLNet Labs. So some numbers. There's some caveats here. So the 50, I did not do measurements because I made finish the slides like today. So I did the measurements on the train. So, but I think the 50 megabytes is actually slower. I'm pretty sure the 700 megabytes is correct, and we will go beyond. And I'm going to tell you how. So So basically, the motivation is that currently the parser NSD isn't very fast, and we have an operator where SOM loading takes the better part of an hour. And at that point, it stops being practical. That's the motivation. And I actually like to take you on a journey so that I went through. I will also show you the new algorithms, but I also want to tell you why parsing SOM files currently in NSD at least is really slow. And to do that, I have to tell you a bit on parsing. So I've included an example with a Hello World C program. And the NSD parser is based on LexinYAK, and that's really useful if you want to parse things like a computer language where each token has a meaning in and of itself. For SOM files, however, that is definitely not the case. So if you look at the, also in this case I provide as an example, but everyone in the room will probably make out that on the last line I try to define an A record with a corresponding IP address, and then what the SOM parser actually does is it takes the A, it makes that the owner, and then throws a syntax error because, well, an IP address is not really a valid record type, obviously. LexinYAK is really not a good choice, but then there's also the fact that I think SOM files are only more or less standardized. They're not really standardized, putting mildly. And when you combine the two, that just leads to a lot of trouble. First thing I did was analyze why the current parser is slow. And the current parser is slow, it's actually inherent to the tooling because they're just not a good fit. Because what the Lexer does is it gives you each token and then passes on to the parser. But it does so by matching a whole bunch of inputs and then taking the longest one, the longest match, and then executing the corresponding action, which in the case of the NSD SOM file parser means that you can, that it copies the token, then tries to unescape it, and for names it needs the dots right because they have meaning in domain names. And what it does there is that it actually splits the input and parses each label separately. That is, of course, copied, and the parser then concatenates that all back together, and that is not really a fast process. So my first thought was, what if I just change the process a bit and scrap LexinYAK and cut all the memory allocations? And that gave us better numbers, but they're not the numbers that I wanted to see, right? Because 180 megabytes you can express it in gigabytes a second, but then it becomes even less impressive, right, than 100 megabytes a second. So I started looking into that, and I will show you the algorithms that I used and I came up with in a minute. But to make you understand why these algorithms work, it's important that each and every one of you knows that your CPU is a pipeline CPU, and all modern CPUs are pipeline CPUs. And what that means is that executing each instruction is not a single step, it's actually a multi-stage process. So there's a fetch and decode step, and there's a lot more to it in practice. But this is a mechanism that was designed so that you to optimize performance in the CPU, and the premise on getting fast code is that you keep the pipeline nice and full. That does not always happen, especially, or one case where that doesn't happen is when you get a pipeline stall, and that happens essentially when there's when the next instruction that you want to execute depends on the result of the instruction that you're currently executing. And in that case, the CPU has to stall the pipeline. It has to wait until the result is written back. It can then go on to decode and then only then execute your instruction. And you'll take a hit of a couple cycles. Then there's, of course, the well-known pipeline flushes. And those happen essentially if there's a conditional jump, for instance, an if statement, and the CPU goes on to load the instructions that come after that. And if it turns out that it actually needs to execute other instructions, then it needs to flush the pipeline, and only then can it go on to execute your code. And there's branch prediction that is used to improve the flow. And modern CPUs actually do a pretty good job of that, but well, it's prediction, so it's not always right. And it turns so if we look at that information, then we can analyze why a parser is, the process of parsing is just inherently slow, because if we go over it byte by byte, like the NSDZone parser, for example, then before you can analyze the next byte, you have to wait until you have to resolve the new state of your current byte. And also, it turns out that as far as the CPU is concerned, the zone files are just random, right? That anything can happen at any time, so it's hard to predict branches in that case. Right, so the base of the new instructions that I'm using at base is a thing called SIMD, or single instruction multiple data. And my interest in all of this was really sparked by the SIMD-JSON project. And it caught my attention because they express the throughput in gigabytes a second. Now, in the next slide, I'm going to tell you something about the algorithms, but I'm not going to go into them in great depth because there's not a whole lot of time. So if you want to know more on that, then I would advise you to watch the talk or just read the paper. But yeah, SIMD, what that is actually an instruction set, and what it does is it adds vector registers and instructions to operate on those registers. And what that allows us to do is to classify blocks instead of just bytes. And there's some trickery involved. And there's a super simple example on the slide. But basically, yeah, we can classify 16, 32, or 64 bytes in one go, depending on your CPU. And then we repeat that multiple times for each input that we actually want to know about. And the idea is that we can cut branches and dependencies. So what's good to know about SIMD is that it's all vertical, non-horizontal. So it's really an instruction that is executed for each of the inputs. So you can actually do logic in SIMD. And the way to work around that is to convert the inputs to a mask. So we would get a 64-bit bit mask for each of the inputs that we checked. And with those bit masks in hand, then the first thing that we are going to do is to classify all the escape bits, because there's some files allow for escaping. And this is actually an algorithm that the SIMD-JSON guys came up with. And basically what we do is that for each uneven number of backslashes, we take the next character. And so that bit then represents the character that is actually escaped. And we need that information so